Good morning. Good morning. We'll wait for a few people to get in. Good morning to everyone. I pray that you have had a wonderful week and a great weekend. As we say every week, welcome to the life. And if it's been a blessing to you, please like and share. Please like and share. Please like and share. All right, so as we wait on some other people to get in, we want to say, welcome to the life where we're changing the world by serving others. Our goal is to open up the eyes of the blind and teach the truth of God's word so it's applicable for daily living, whereby the hearers will come up to God's center of the living for themselves and their families. This is our vision and this is our mission. For all of those who typically tune in, for those who perhaps do not, we always do shout outs at the beginning of our broadcast, and the reason why we do that is because we believe in giving people their flowers while they yet still live. And so we try to celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, or anything that's significant in someone's life. So if you tune in with us, we pray that that you'll continue to send us things so that we can celebrate you. But we want to say happy birthday to, and I hope I'm pronouncing Jamal's last name correctly, Jamal McCauley. Happy birthday, Jamal. And also Dr. Hope Prim, happy birthday. Happy anniversary to Michael and Keisha Thomas. So happy birthday to Michael and Keisha Thomas. And, Tiasha Hamilton. Happy birthday, Tiasha. Happy birthday. So, anyone else that I might have missed, please put it in the chat box and let's wish, there we go. Happy birthday. If there's anyone else, please put it in the chat box. We want to celebrate them. If you have an anniversary, other than Michael and Keisha Thomas, we say happy anniversary to you. Also, we want to say congratulations to Kaylin Crowell, who made the A honor roll the first 9 weeks. So good job. Good job, Kaylin. And also for Amara Prim, my niece, for the first quarter, she had a 3.86 GPA. She is attending the Alabama Cybersecurity School. And so for those who know about these different schools in Alabama, you have the Math and Science School in Mobile, you have the Fine Arts School in Birmingham, and now you have the Cybersecurity School here in Huntsville. So it's very difficult to get in, and it's a very rigorous and robust kind of curriculum. As a matter of fact, I think in the ninth grade, she's taking physics. So that lets you know what kind of program it is. So I'm just proud of her. And I encourage you to encourage these young folks like Kaylin and Amar. You know, keep encouraging them to make sure that they can do the best that they can do. Amen. All right. So let's pray and let's get into today's word. Father, we thank you now for another opportunity to get into your word. Father, we pray now something will be said that will be a blessing to these, your sheep. And Father, we thank you now that no weapon formed against this word shall prosper, God. Father, we bind all distractions, any demonic influence or satanic attacks that may cause this word not to flourish. And so, Father, we thank you now for the full manifestation of your glory. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go right into brass tactics. So let's get right into the message for today. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And I think we'll start at, I guess we can do, let's do verse 13. I'll start at verse 13. Here we go. And it reads thusly, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? Then Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. You heard that? Then he allowed him. And so I really, my focus scripture is going to be 16 and 17, but I want you to see something here, is that John is showing deference, and he's like, hey, you know what? I really don't need to be baptized in you. You really need to be baptized in me. But the fact that Jesus understood and he knew that, you know what? In order to fulfill my destiny, it has to be done in this way. I'm going somewhere with this. In order to fulfill my destiny, I had to go through what I'm getting ready to go through. I had to do exactly what it is that I'm doing because it was preordained or destined for me to do it. Now, watch this. Here's where I want to be. Verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. As I was, you know, studying this and getting ready for the week, I came across something that I thought was very interesting. When private corporations, when they go through an IPO is what it's called, an initial public offering, this is like a process in which they're offering shares of a private corporation to be public, to the public. And an IPO allows a company to raise capital from private investors, basically. And this process is also known as going public. So that's why you have some of these companies that for a long time, they might have been owned by a family or private investors. And then when they get large or when they want to do more work or they want to expand or as in the business or in the marketplace, they say they want to scale. They want to get a little bit bigger. They do what they call going public. So just for a little while, I want to talk to you from a subject matter of your ministry is going public. Your ministry is going public. And so we see here in chapter 3 of Matthew, this is his coming out party right here. This is when God says, so if anybody was questioning whether he was the Son of God or whatever the case may be, you see it now here in verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so I think that as believers, we have to get to a point and understand and recognize our place in society, our place in the world and what we should do. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me talk about what ministry is. Because some people say, oh, well, I'm not a minister. No, you are a minister. You are a minister. Let's break this thing down. So here's how Webster describes ministry. Webster describes ministry as the work or vocation of a minister of religion. That's one definition. The work or vocation of a minister in religion. Got that? And so that's one definition. The second definition is to provide information or services about an organizational cause. To provide information or services about an organizational cause. That's how Webster describes it. In the Greek, it is called diakonos, which simply means servant or one who execute the command of another. Diakonos, servant or one who executes the command of another. So with that being said, everyone is a minister. Why? Because God has already given us a mandate. I could go over to Matthew where he talks about, you know, he tells all of us to go out into the earth in teaching them as he's commanded us, baptizing in the name of the Son, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has ordained all of us to go out and be a minister. There are some lay ministers, there are different ministers, and you have different types of ministries. As a matter of fact, let me just do it this way. Here's some different types of ministries. The first one is hospitality. Hospitality, you say, well, Pastor, what is that? I mean, have you ever seen these ladies in the kitchen and they're part of the hospitality committee or the folks that go out and they feed people or people who constantly look out for the needs of others? That's hospitality. And then you got the teaching ministry. That's folks like your fivefold ministries and your pastors and your teachers and all those kind of folks. But then also, even if you get out of the realm of religion, I mean, even people that are in the teaching profession and that kind of stuff. And then you have outreach. Then you have these people that go out and they try to work with those who are less fortunate or those who have issues, whether it be like counselors or whatever the case may be. And then you have music. And I'm going beyond just praise and worship. But if you do entertainment or if you in the arts or whatever the case may be, so you have to look at it is you might not quote unquote be in the church, but you still have ministry. You still are a part of ministry. Watch this. So you said, no, I'm not a minister. Now I got what you're talking about. That's my vocation. Okay, glad you said that, because in the Latin word or the Latin origin of vocation, it comes from vocational, but it simply means in the Latin, vocation simply means in the Latin, a call or summons, an occupation in which a person is especially called. So regardless of where you are and what you do, you are called to do it. And so that's why the Bible talks about us doing everything as unto the Lord, because I don't care what job you work in. I don't care what career field you in. It does not matter. You should consider it to be part of ministry. You ought to get to the point where we got to stop hiding, for lack of a better term. We tend to just want to kind of hang back and we'll just do what we do. We'll help people. We'll do whatever, but we're not trying to really be out. But at some point, you have to come public. Some point, you have to just say, hey, okay, here's what it is. I live for God, and this is what I'm called to do. Whatever it is, whatever area it is that God has called you in. If some of us would start looking at our job as a ministry, how much better it would be. If some of us would look at the organizations that we're part of and we would look at it as ministry, how much better would the organizations be? How much better would communities be? But we, for some reason, we tend to have a mindset of that, these things are separate from the church. We think that we associate the church. That's good, Holy Ghost. We associate the church with four walls, or we associate the church just in this space that we're in right now. But the church is always with us and in us. And so everything that we do, everything that we say, it should tie right back in to God. And so we understand that there are different types. But now here's six musts in ministry. Six musts in ministry. Watch this. The first is you must hear from God. You must hear from God. So you said, well, Pastor, once again, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not the preacher. I'm not the deacon. I don't care. I just told you. Your ministry is whatever it is that God has placed you to do in terms of work, in terms of the community, in terms of your family. But before you can do that, you got to hear from God. You need to hear from God. You need to hear from God before you take on certain things. You need to hear from God before you move to certain places. You need to hear from God before you take a certain job, or before you get in a relationship with someone else, or before you get into a certain business, or whatever the case may be. You got to hear from God. The second thing is you got to set out a clear path. You got to set out a clear path. You can't get to the point where you're just all over the place. You have to make sure that you know exactly, and you may be in faith, but there has to be this clear path, like, hey, I know where God is taking me, and I know where I have to go and how I need to go about doing. So you first got to hear from God. Secondly, you got to set out a clear path. This is for whether you in business or you in ministry. Either way. Number three, be content. So many times I've seen young preachers, what they do is they look at television, they look at the preacher who's been preaching 50 years, or they look at a church that's exploded, or whatever the case may be, or they look at a ministry that has exploded. And so they want to be like that person, or they want to know why they hadn't done that. Some of you that are watching me right now, you've got colleagues that you work with, and you can't understand why they've gotten the promotion, or you can't understand why they drive a certain car, or they live in a certain neighborhood, or they have certain clothes, or they're able to go on certain vacations, whatever the case may be. You don't worry about them, but you be content. As Paul said, you be content in whatsoever state that you're in. You don't have to be satisfied, but you need to be content. And I think for a lot of us, we are just not content. We look over to the left, we look over to the right, and we're always trying to figure out what is the next person doing? What's the next guy doing? And we have to understand and know that if we just be content in where it is that God have us or has us, then we would be so much better in terms of the work of the ministry. So first, hear from God. Secondly, set our clear path. Thirdly, be content. But the fourth thing is be obedient. Whatever it is that God tells us to do, we need to be obedient. So I don't care what it is. I don't care what occupation. I don't care what ministry, whatever the case may be. You have to be obedient. You see that in Matthew 3, where Jesus could have easily skipped the process. He could have said, well, you're right, John. Tell you what, man, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about baptizing me. As a matter of fact, I just baptized myself. Don't worry about it. You know, you're right. No, but he said, no, I must do this because this is the way that it's supposed to be. He was obedient in what the scripture said, and he was obedient with what prophecy had said. And so we as ministers, I'm going to say it again, whether you be pulpit or whether you be lay, whatever the case may be, whether it be in ministry, quote unquote, or in vocation, you still have to be obedient. You got to be obedient to God. And I don't mean just for doing the work. Ooh, that's good. But being obedient in what the word says. So sometimes people are obedient with the work, but they're not obedient with the word. We'll say that again. They're obedient with the work. In other words, I do whatever it is you told me to do, Lord, but I'm not doing everything that the word says. And so the two can't coexist. You can't do the work and don't do the word. And you can't do the word without doing the work. They have to be together. They have to be together. So be obedient is number four. And then number five, be grateful. Be grateful. You may say, well, Pastor, isn't being content and being grateful two different things? No. I mean, to the same thing? No, they're not. They're not. Because I can be content, but still not be grateful. And so when we're grateful, we ought to, you ought to thank God every day. You ought to thank God every day just for, you know, we used to make fun of the old saints where they used to say, I thank God for the breath in my body and the activity of my limbs. Well, the older you get, the more understanding you get, the harder it gets for you to get out of bed, or the harder it is to get you get up off the floor or whatever, or get out of a seat. You know, those are the activity of your limbs. I know this just seemed to be some real simplistic teaching, but it makes sense because I want to get this in your mind. I want you to get to a point of understanding that we have to start being grateful for what we think are small things, but no, they really large things. Let me tell you something. When you can no longer walk, then you'll be grateful for walking. When you can no longer breathe, when you can hardly breathe, then you'll be grateful for breathing. And so sometimes we're not grateful until that thing is gone. Some of y'all have been married, and then what winds up happening is you're not a priesthood while you're married. But boom, when they're gone, then all of a sudden, now you recognize and you realize what you had. You weren't grateful. Some of y'all have been in a job or in some kind of situation,
and you weren't grateful. And then when it's gone, then all of a sudden, now you start to appreciate it. Well, it's too late. It's too late to appreciate something that you were already in possession of. And so we have to understand and know that we have to be grateful. If we would start by being grateful for God, with God, then we would be able to be grateful with those that we live with every day and that we work with and that we commune with. But we have to be grateful. And then the last thing, the sixth must in ministry, you must be a servant. You got to be a servant. You got to go into this thing saying, you know what? I want to be a servant. That's what I want to do. I want to be a servant. And when we get to that mentality, when we start to serve and everything that we do, we want to serve, then how much better life would be. Now watch this. Let me show you something. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, and I think I want I'll do verse number 11. I'm going to start at 11. So watch this. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. No. Let me start at 7. It's a reading for this. But to each one of us, grace was given. You heard that? To each one of us. Not to just the preachers, not just to the deacons, the evangelists, the prophets, the apostles, but now to each one of us was given a gift. The grace was given unto the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Watch this. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might feel all things. Remember over in Matthew chapter 4, where he was talking about how he needed to be baptized, and Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17, when he told John that, hey, I've got to do this, I've got to be baptized. And then just the same way that Christ had to be baptized, he talks about here in these, in 9 and 10, how he goes, once he's crucified, he goes to hell, he gets the keys, and he ascends back up to the right hand with the Father. So he had to do that. And he does this, so at some point it becomes a gift to men, because here comes the gifts. Watch this. And he himself, watch this, gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Watch this. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this. Now I'm going to show you something. That's good. I don't know if it's blessing y'all, but it's blessing me. So we see this a lot of times. We see it over in verse number 11. We get caught up in what he's given us, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. We get caught up in that, right? But watch this. The real ministry is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You heard that? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So that means that the saints have to be in ministry. So it's not just the gifts that are in ministry, it's the saints that are in ministry. So all of us have some type of ministry. So now watch this. Here's three objectives for ministries. Here's three objectives. So the first is for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the perfecting of the saints. So we should be into this perfection mode. The Bible talks about how, you know, none of us are going to be perfect until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we constantly are trying to perfect ourselves. Someone asked me the other day, man, what you been up to? Or what you doing? I said, man, I'm just trying to get better. I'm just trying to be the better person. I'm just trying to grow. And when we get to that understanding that, hey, the way that we grow, the way that we get into perfection is we've got to stay in the word and we've got to be obedient to what God tells us. So that's the first objective. The second objective is
is really the work, you know, that we must work in ministry or be of ministry. And so when we get to a point of knowing that we're not in ministry for the sake of saying we are, whether it be you're in the fivefold gifts, the ones that I just told you, or if you are a lay minister, or if you consider to be a saint, which I mean a believer, then you should be working in ministry. There should be some work going on. It is a platform. Ministry is a platform for you to do the work of your calling or your vocation. And then the third objective for ministry is to edify the body of Christ, to build it up, to train it, to get it to understand and know what it is that has to happen. Part of the issue is, that's why I love that we have a teaching ministry, is because we want to edify the body of Christ. We want people to understand and know that it is critical for us to know the word, and not only to just know the word, but actually walk out the word. But now when you see this and when you recognize this, there are three points of connection I want you to take from this. Here's the first thing. The first thing is that everyone has a ministry. Everyone has a ministry. I don't care who you are. Hear me and hear me good. I don't care who you are, where you live, what your vocation is, but you have a ministry. And it's up to you to find out, what is my ministry? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I called to do? The reason why so many people are frustrated in the earth realm is because they have no true idea of what they've been called to do. And when we understand and recognize what it is that we've been called to do, how much better and how much more free we become when we start to really recognize what we've been called to do. And it's something to be said when it becomes public. What you mean, Pastor? Well, when you just kind of get free and you know what it is that you've been called to do, then you don't have to worry about how, and you don't have to worry about, well, I do this, but I just don't want anybody to know I'm doing this. No, it's not like you being braggadocious. No, folks need to know so that you can help more people. So you have to understand that everyone has a ministry. That's the first thing. The second thing is, integrity is critical. Integrity is critical. Why? Because someone is depending on you to do your ministry. I'm going to say that again. Someone is depending on you to do your ministry. If there was no John, there had to be a John before Jesus. I'm going to say that again. There had to be a John before Jesus. All of us have a John the Baptist in our lives. There is someone who's come before us. There's someone who's preparing the way. If John the Baptist had not operated in integrity, then God would have had to find someone else to baptize Jesus, someone else to preach about him coming. John was a big time dude until Jesus came on the scene. John could have easily gotten to the point where he got into flesh and said, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm just as important as Jesus. This is my cousin. I mean, you know, we're from the same bloodline, so why can't I just do what he's doing? Well, you saw at the end what Jesus had to wind up doing. But what we see is that even though John had a awful death as well, you have to recognize, oh man, okay, I'll say it just like that, God. You have to flow in what it is that God has called you to flow in. And just know that your appointment or your assignment is just as important as the next person. So that's why it's so important for you to keep your integrity. Have you ever worked with some folks who want to do everybody else's job but their own? They want to do your job. They want to do the supervisor's job. They want to do the owner's job instead of just simply doing what they are supposed to be doing. But that's a part of integrity. That's an integrity issue. Why? Because you don't want to do what it is that you have signed up to do. So let me say this to you, if you're watching me. If you know God has called you to do something, keep the integrity and do it. Whatever it is that he's called you to do, I don't care how small you may think it is or how big you may think it is, you have to operate in integrity. You do it with full integrity, but integrity is critical. One of the things, and this is just a side note or a sidebar, for you professionals, because we minister to a lot of professionals. One of the things that we're lacking in the marketplace right now, and even in the church, and even in our community, is that we got people who just don't operate in integrity. And you hear people talk about what integrity is, where it's doing what's right when nobody else is watching. I mean, you're constantly, but I submit to you that not only is it doing what is right when no one else is watching, but actually I would take it a step further and say, doing the word at all times, doing the word at all times. And if you're doing the word at all times, you will operate in integrity. And here's my last and third point of connection. Always seek to get a revelation. Always seek to get a revelation. Some of us, sometimes we're in ministry and we just kind of go on. Like a lot of people, they work or they stay in a position or whatever the case may be, and they're not always seeking for a revelation. They're just wandering aimlessly around. But we have to get to a point where we're always trying to get a revelation. God, what are you saying to me? What are you telling me? What are you revealing to me? You think about it when they went to Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And so and then everybody goes through all of these different scenarios of who they said that he was. And then eventually he says to them, well, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he tells them that now you've got a revelation, and that's what I'm going to build my church on. I'm going to build my church on revelation. And so we always have to seek to get a revelation, because when we get a revelation, then things become so much more clearer. And now you're able to actually work and walk out your ministry. Why? Because you know specifically what it is he's telling us and what he's given us. And then also it allows you to know, when do I stay in a place? When do I leave? When do I do something else? When do I pick up more? When I drop something off? Why? Because I have a revelation. And the reason why some of us are failing, ooh man, this is good. The reason why some of us are failing is because we don't have a revelation of what God really wants us to do. When you get that, there'll be such a sense of peace. Some of you, the reason why you just feel like you're so tormented is because you don't have a revelation of what God really wants to do in your life. And let me tell you something, there's nothing like peace when you know exactly what it is, when you're slap dab in the middle of God's will. And when you understand that and recognize that, then all of a sudden there's this sense of peace. Well, the reason why you get this sense of peace is because you got a revelation of what it is that God would have you to do. And so when you get that and when you understand that, then you can fully move out on what it is that God has called you to do. And then you'll be just like Matthew chapter 3 at verse 17, God would be saying the same thing about you, just like he said about Jesus. He said, this is my son and or my daughter in whom I am well pleased. And so let me tell you something. Right now, some of you, your ministry is going public today. This is going to be the day where you're going to make up in your mind, like, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what it is that God has called me to do. I won't be ashamed of it. I'm going to walk it out, and I'm going to do exactly what it is he's called me to do. And guess what? And then you'll know and you'll hear with all clarity that this is my son and daughter in whom I am well pleased. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for another time in your word. God, I pray that these Your ministers, God, that they will go out and do the work of the ministry. And Father, that you, whatever it is that they do, God, whatever vocation that they're in, that they will treat their jobs, they will treat their community service as if it is real ministry. And Father, I thank you now that you reward them openly for what they're doing. And when it's all said and done, God, we'll make sure we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me do this because I don't want to just take for granted that just because we come on every Sunday that people that listen to us have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to make three appeals, and they're very simple, and it won't take long. But here's the first appeal. The first appeal is that of salvation. So you can't be in ministry if you're not converted, if you hadn't confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're just doing a good work. But the Bible declares over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you shall be saved. So if you've never, ever remember a time of asking Jesus Christ in as your personal Lord and Savior, this first appeal is for you. Secondly, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I backslid. And I got good news for you. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. So I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did last year. It does not matter. As long as you have a willing heart and you're ready to repent and you're ready to come back and to be in right standing with God. So when I'm saved, Pastor, does that mean I'm going to do everything right? Does that mean that I'm never going to miss the mark? No. But what it does mean when I'm in right standing, then that means that I use the blood of the Lamb to be able to repent and work towards being a better person. So if you know that you need to be back in right standing, the second appeal is for you. I always use the example of the younger son who has spent all his living, all of his money on riotous living, and then he comes back and his father accepts him just as he was. That's the same way with God. That's how he's going to accept you. And then third and finally, you may say, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm in right standing, but man, I need a church home. I got good news for you. I can't think of a better place than Word of Life Community Church, Greater Birmingham. Whether you be in the city of Birmingham or in the Greater Birmingham area, or whether you be abroad and you want to be a part of our online campus, we want you to be a part of this ministry because we want to take this word ultimately to the world. We want to be a blessing, and we want to do ministry. We want to be a blessing to people all over the place. And so if you know that you need a church home where you're going to get the word, it's going to be practical. It's going to allow you to help live your life better. It's going to allow you to be a better person, and it's going to allow you to do what it is that God has called you to do. I can't think of a better place than this church that we're going to love on you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to cover you, and we're going to give you good Christian fellowship. I can't think of a better place than Word of Life Community Church, Greater Birmingham. So first, for salvation, secondly, to be restored, and third and finally, if you need a church home, whether you're in the Greater Birmingham area or you are outside of that area and you want to be a part of our online campus, these three appeals are for you. You can simply email me at pastorprem@wlcc.us. pastorprem@wlcc.us. You see it on the ticker coming across the screen now. If you need just, or if you're on one of our platforms and if you just want to put in the platform change, then we'll make sure that we reach out to you and minister to you in the appropriate manner. So you can email me at pastorprem@wlcc.us, or you can simply put in the chat space change, and we'll make sure that we reach out to you and minister to you appropriately. If you just need prayer and you say, well, Pastor, I don't need anything else. I just simply need prayer. You can do it two ways. You can once again email me at pastorprem@wlcc.us, or you can simply just put praying hands, or if you feel free enough to put whatever it is that you need prayer for in the chat area, we'll make sure that we reach out to you, and we will also pray for you and pray with you. Amen. All right. Well, if all hearts and minds are satisfied, we want to say to you, have a wonderful holidays. Please be safe. And please understand and know that this is the time to be thankful more than ever. And next week, we'll talk about how we really need to be thankful and how to give thanks. Amen. All right. So until then, I always say, fight a good fight, finish the course, but most of all, keep the faith. So until next week, on this same platform that you're viewing us on. Take care and have a phenomenal week. Bye-bye.